to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
Shining in the light.
Bless you, buddy.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. You want to see him, don't you? And if we want to see him, then he'll make a way for us to see him. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. And then we'll go to Romans 8, Ephesians 1. Now remember that, the Lord willing, on the, not this coming weekend now, but the next one, which will be the 2nd and the 3rd of July, will be our 40th anniversary here in the church, which will actually be on the 4th, which is on Monday, but we can't handle it that away, so we'll just do it with the 3rd, and it'll be all right. But remember that, and remember Brother Reed will be, Brother Keith Reed will be here preaching for us for the weekend, so just keep those in mind. And looking forward to a good time in the Lord and a good time to celebrate 40 years, you know, and maybe we've made our journey in the, around the mountain, you know, round and around for 40 years. They went around and around, and then they finally got started the other way. So maybe we've made our journey round and around, and we can get on with the doing it. But just remember all of these that are sick among us, and just pray that the Lord will bless Sister Barbara there. She's got shingles, and Brother Dick was taking some medication, and it really messed him up. So just remember all of these, the sick ones among us, and Brother Gary, and he's doing great. He's able to be up and around. He was planning on coming to church tonight when I talked to him yesterday, but I guess he didn't feel like it. But they'll probably all be watching on the internet, so we say hi to each one of you out there on the internet waves and things that the Lord will bless. All right, Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Now we won't be having a our Bible study on the first Saturday, so we will just kind of probably, I guess, count that as the Bible study for this time. Or do you want to move over and have the Bible study on the second Saturday? What about it? Anybody, you want it to second Saturday? Because we won't be having the first Saturday because we'll be here with Brother Keith Reed. Okay? All right. So everybody want it? It'll be all right with everybody? Amen. For the, yes. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Yeah, that'd be fine. So it'll be on the second Saturday of July this time. Okay? 6 o'clock. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us, and we thank you for all things, and we ask you to just help us and guide us and lead us by thine understanding, that we may, Lord, just walk in the light of your love. Forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you, and we ask you to bless each one. Remember the sick among us. There's many, many sicknesses and things, and you said in your word that you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so Father, we ask you to just make it manifest. And those who are out there watching tonight because of not being able to come because of sickness, we ask you to bless them and just be with each one the same as it would be here. We love you and we thank you. And just have your way. Keep us, because that's what we desire for you to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in Ephesians for a while, but we haven't worn it out yet, so Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's go over to Romans, where we want to read Romans 8, but we want to read verse 5 through 11. That's Romans 8, verse 5 through 11. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now watch, it's asking the question, see. It's not saying everybody, that way. See, it's putting the point is there. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, now there's the condition. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I know I have a whole lot of quotes up here tonight, and we may read some of them, may not, but if not, you will have it to where that you can at least see what we're trying to cover. But we've got over into the message, and I want to make sure and cover this tonight that we will know what, you know, is what I'm trying to get to of the adoption and the things. And it's coming down to a place till I believe that we are in the last days and the finishing up. Now, how long that'll be, that's no problem with any of us. I was talking with Brother Carroll the other day, and I think he's 80-something, about 83 or something like that. And he said that somebody said, well, you know, the rapture, I believe, is coming pretty quick. He said, well, at my age, it ain't going to make much difference. He said, because I'm going one way pretty quick. You know, the age we're getting. So, you know, that's a good point. But I want to be here for the change and all like that. I want to see it. But now, I was trying to bring a point to you, and I want to make sure you understand it. See, things don't happen just by chance. You know, God's everything is pre-programmed, and you remember how that back a few months ago that we were talking about how that it is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but the word or seed. And we talked about a word or the word or seed for each age. All right? So there is a word for each age and time. All right? So then we have the finishing up of all of the word in this day, and that is the word for our day and our time. We have the greatest of all things looking forward to and appreciating what God has already given us. But I was trying to bring a point to you, and I want to keep that point in mind tonight, that in each age, I was looking at these the other day, you know, and studying on it, and in each age has been a divine healing campaign to follow the message of that age. All right? Now, I'm quoting Brother Branham. Each age had a healing campaign to go out. All right? But this age was very special because, you know, when Azusa Street took place there of 1906, see, there was things following that, which was the movement of God and all like that, and things were taking place. But then as it began to die down a little bit, then you see that, you know, a healing campaign started around the world. This one would be a worldwide thing, not just, you know, a partial. It would be a great thing happening, and, you know, people don't realize what took place back there when the prophet of God began to bring forth in the divine healing ministry, you know, and he began to speak on those things. And I made some statements about it, and I want you to fully understand what I'm getting at. And see, then in this day, this time, there were to be a healing campaign. Let's go back and read from Malachi, and just read Malachi 4, and just see what it's saying. Because, see, we look at Malachi 4 a lot of times as only the message that would be coming forth, you know, and then if we ain't careful, we'll drop over to the last days of Brother Branham's ministry and start off from there. But I want you to see something from this, and to read Malachi 4, I want us to follow one point. See, that there was a promise in God's word. Amen. Right. All right? Now, each age, see, get the point, each age had a word or seed, and it was promised for that age. All right? Now, so then in the age come that we're in, see, there was a healing campaign started, all right, to fulfill the scriptures, all right? And that will go all the way, see, that will go all the way to the millennium with the scriptures that we're going to read, and that way we can follow that point. But the main thing I want you to see is that this healing campaign, it had more to do with it than just divine healing. See, it meant a whole lot more than just a divine healing. But the divine healing is like Brother Bosworth would always say. Said Brother Branham said the healing and the thing, said that's just bait on the hook. See, and that's why I believe that Brother Branham started out in his early ministry. And you remember that he would have somebody to preach for him. All right, and then he would just come out and pray for the sick. Well. Then he stopped that, and he started preaching the message, and then he would, you know, the praying for the sick would take place, which put a double burden on him. But it was to, you know, I wouldn't want to follow a Trinitarian out to preach on divine healing, you know, because he would be lining me up in the wrong direction, you know, and I wouldn't want that understanding. So I just believe that Brother Branham just saw it, you know, because you'll see in a minute, then he knew that there would be a message come. Amen. See? He knew the divine healing, if there was to be a divine healing campaign, that was only to get the attention of the people. Now, I can show you a lot of quotes on that, but it shouldn't be needed. You ought to understand that that healing campaign, it was there. And even to the writers, they credit Brother Branham and Oral Roberts as to be the major ones of the divine healing campaign. All right? But you better remember one thing. Oral Roberts came out from Brother Branham. So you remember he was the first one going forth, you know, with the healing campaign. And as we read the things in a minute, watch the little key things that he'll say sometimes as to expressing a thought. But let's read Malachi here as we're at it. We'll go over about, let's just read, start off verse 1, Malachi 4. For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now you remember Brother Brown saying, see there, I said, that's going to, that proves that there is no eternal hell, because it's going to burn up. See? All right. But now start in verse 2. But unto you, now, I put a big old circle around mine. That's me. All right. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. All right. Now, so then, the promise is to you. All right? The Son of Righteousness will rise with healings in his wings. Now, I've got the quotes in here as we come on down in a little bit, that goes all the way to the millennium. So this didn't just start, as I said. Brother Branham didn't come out just preaching, and see, he knew something was going to take place. All right? And he knew that there would be a message follow after this healing campaign. All right? See, because it would be the Son of Righteousness arising with healings in his wings. And if you'll run into your computer, just run in Son of Righteousness, you'll find that it's very little relating to actually just stopping on the divine healing point. It will carry all the way into the millennial reign. This Son of Righteousness will rise, but it started there. That's my point I want you to see. That something started back there in that divine healing that has more to do with us than just a healing campaign. See? They had those after following each message that would go forth. They would be healings and signs and wonders. But in this one, it had a very special meaning because it was going to be the last sweeping, see, unto the coming of the Lord of a healing campaign. All right? And that's why things are not going now like everybody thinks we ought to be doing this and be doing that. If we've got this, you know, we don't have nothing because we could produce this, that, the other. We're not in the days of the healing campaign. But it didn't stop with Brother Branham when he went to the grave. We can still believe and we still see signs and wonders and we thank God for those things, but not a worldwide sweeping. They're having more healing campaigns out in the denominational world today than is taking place among the people of the message as far as a campaign for healing. You don't hear of anybody announcing we're going to have a healing campaign. They're going to have a preaching campaign. They're going to have Holy Ghost campaign or something. They don't mention having a divine healing. See, because that was where, when it was come there with the prophet, it would not stop until the millennium. All right? So now get that point, see, that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healings in his wings. All right? But it don't stop with just healings in his wings as a healing campaign. See, it goes on and says, and conjunction, and ye, see, shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The reason that's there, the prophet is illustrating what? You feed calves of the stall stored up food. Right? You know, they don't eat grass out in the pasture. They stay in a stall. You're feeding, as we call it in the southern form of doing, you call it feeding it out. In other words, it's been out eating up on things. And then you put it in there and you begin to feed it to cleanse the body from a lot of the toxics of the grass, the things that was there. And you're fattening them up and getting everything ready to tenderize the meat, you know. In case anybody didn't know what all that's about, see, you know. But, see, it's not just a healing campaign. This healing campaign has to flow over into... See, you read Malachi 4, you know. You got the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. All right? See, so that doesn't stop now. It'll go all the way to the millennium of the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Because, see, over to that point, things are going to be taking place. All right? Now, but then see, there's to be a message follow because it says, ye shall grow up. All right? Now, so get those two together tonight of what we're talking about. But we're talking about laying a foundation or God preparing a way that he could bring it into bringing the word, you know. You say, well, he can just sweep down and just do this. Well, that's true. And that's the way he pretty well done it in the ages. But in this age, he sends forth a healing campaign. See? And the whole world begins to go through a point in the 40s and 50s and on up into the early 60s of people like Oral Roberts and all of them going forth with great things happening. Not just Brother Branham. It was a healing campaign to strike the world. But Brother Branham said, I knew all along that there was a message to come. See? If there's going to be divine healing, there's got to be a message follow that. And it's not just the message of divine healing. You get it? It's not just a message of we're healing. Having a healing campaign, all right? That's wonderful. Thank God. But there would be a message for it. So Malachi shows you that now. All right, so go in your notes now, and you'll have to scramble through to find it because it's actually the last page. All right, 29, 30, and 31. And I just added these to it and left them on there where I could pull them out real quick. So let's look and see what your prophet had to say. Look at number 29 on your notes there where it says, God's provided way, preached in 1959, 415, and A. All right. He's talking about invitations given and different things taking place and all. And he's talking about the lame shall walk and the certain things, you know, the signs and the wonders. Now look, the last calling and the last invitation was a great time to sweep across the country in divine healing. Now, that was the last. And we're winding up the end of that, just pulling in the loose ends right now. So how close is the coming of the Lord? Then he goes on to cover and telling you how that divine healing is only the bait on the hook. See? In other words, divine healing campaign was to bring in the sick. And Brother Branham, you've heard him many times even say, how dare you come up here and asking God to heal you of this sickness when you're standing there with sin in your life. See, the healing campaign was to get the people to come. And they came by the millions, see? And some saw God, we'll read it after a while, it's to prove that God's among you. That's what healing is for. Healing is to prove God is among you. All right? And that's what took place back there, because that was just the bait on the hook. All right? But now remember, you don't put the bait on the hook and cast it out, and then you draw it back in. That's just the bait on the hook, you know. We draw it back in, we take the bait off, throw the hook back out. Now, you don't do that, right, duty? You got to leave the bait on the hook. Just don't do that, all right? The reason I'm saying that is people just say, well, you put it on to one thing. See, you don't major on a minor, but there's one thing about it. A minor is a minor. But you don't do away with a minor. Neither do you do away with the bait on the hook. You turn around a lot of times, reuse it to catch more fish with the same bait. All right. So now, going down now while we're at it, look at Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, 1965, 1206, paragraph 37. Now remember, this message started first with divine healing. Now this is 1965 now. Watch what he's saying now. Now remember, this message started first with divine healing, performing miracles. And if God let that go through an ordinary church, look, just like we already had, then it wasn't God. Huh? If he let it go through, it just wasn't God. Now remember, let's see, I didn't get to bring this quote, but I'll be glad to find it for you. Brother Brown says that even though you would have a healing campaign or healings and signs and wonders take place, he said if it stays with the same old message, he said don't believe it. Even though there would be signs and wonders. So if somebody comes along today with signs and wonders, see, and still staying with some old denominational message, or some two souls, Seventh Thunder, Virtue, Perusius, River Jordans, etc., in the message, see, even though it would come, see, and healing would follow it, you're not going to the Word of God, because each of the healings, and especially this healing campaign, would be the beginning of something that would take all the way to the change of the body. See, so it can't be different. So do you understand what he's saying? And remember, this message started first with divine healing, performing miracles. And if God let that go through an ordinary church, just like we already had, then it wasn't God. Now watch him. God don't have to show off. He don't have to do these things to entertain us, like we Americans are used to entertainment. But he does it to attract the attention of the people that he's fixing to do something. He's fixing to do something. All right, watch it now. Leadership. 1965, 1207. That was 1206. And this is 1207. See? And any message that comes in, a genuine, born message of God, is different from the old trend. Now watch him. When a divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how the impersonators followed it, see? And every one of them went right in them organizations, staying there. Does anyone know that there had to be a message? Listen. Follow that. In other words, to follow the healing, all right? Why? God don't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something. And when he attracts our attention, then he's got the message. All right? So now, you see what I was trying to bring out? That when Azusa Street came forth, that was a move of God. Yes, sir. I believe that. The Holy Ghost came himself, the prophet said, 464 of the seal book. See? And as he did, then, see, Azusa Street began to dwindle back down a little. And as it did, then, the oneness people began to come forth and started a move of God. And see, that didn't progress too far other than bringing back to the church things that had been lost of the truth of one God and things. And, you know, and sure, they run it into a oneness form. But still, then, here comes the prophet about 1933, see, and God coming down to vindicate and show that your message will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right? But it didn't just go right out then. It would be 30-something years later before his message would come forth. You know, somewhere about 63, where the real message of the prophet would come. But it would be restoring back the understanding of the Word of God. And to do that, to get the attention of the people, God sends a healing campaign. All right. See, then you don't be careful, though. Don't just drop off and say, we don't need that anymore. Right. I've made myself clear that we'll read to it in a minute. The prophet says this Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings will go all the way to the millennium. Right. See? Until these bodies are changed, we need healing. Because right. That is the ultimate of all healing, is the change of the body. Right. Right. All right? But see, we've got to walk into it in the way that God wants us to walk. And see, we can't go out ahead, but neither can we lag behind. So there had to be a healing campaign sweep out. See? To get the attention of the people to come to hear the message, but more was happening than besides just getting the people's attention. That's my way, or I want to get your attention tonight. I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say. See, that healing campaign meant more than ever because Brother Branham said it, and you've got them in your hand. No divine healing, no resurrection. See? He said divine healing is the earnest. There's a few quotes in there in a minute we'll get to that are real astounding that the prophet would make on these things. Because he covers if there's no divine healing, then there's no heaven to go to. Oh, we're going to get us a new body. Well, we don't need healing anymore then. Just quit going to the doctors, quit taking your medicine, and just die. You say, well, that's being silly. No, it's not being silly, it's just telling you the truth. If we don't believe in this body to be able to be redeemed, what are we trying to take care of the sucker for? Right? You see, it just don't pan out when people try to make their statements and do their things. But do you understand what I'm saying? When that started with the healing campaign, there's where the Son of Righteousness began to rise. with healing in his wings. Because he began, as I was trying to get the point to you, he began to show that there is a possibility of these bodies being changed. Now that was what was taking place back there. You say, well, why would he have to do that? Because all the world was looking to get a new body. Just like the people of this message are still looking for it. Real popular people out on the field. Going to get a new body. And then you hear other people say, I'm going to get me a new body, and you don't know what they're talking about. Because a lot of them goes about and preaches in different places that, you know, you can say new body, and for one group of people, it means getting me a new body. Don't need this no more. The other side, and wonder, what is he saying? Oh, yeah, he's saying this body made new. Well, I like to let you know what I'm talking about. Why can't we just say this body made new instead of say we're going to get a new body? See, when we say we're going to get a new body, it can put us in a category to fit anywhere. And just float with the people. And if people get happy about getting a new body, we just preach about that a while. You ain't watched preachers do that? They'll pull over this way a while, and they'll pull over this way a while. And it's all right. But listen. The key to understand all things is one fact. Jesus raised with nail prints in his hand. Now, did he raise in a natural body? Or did he raise in a glorified body? Was he still just natural when he raised? Because you better check your Bible, because he raised up and appeared to Mary and then went up and then came back and then showed his hands and his sides. See? So you better get the story right. Of course, that ain't going to change nobody. But maybe it'll change us here. And maybe somebody out there that's hungry enough to listen will feed off of that and understand. And somebody comes along, we bless God, we're going to get us a new body. Brother so-and-so says so. I don't give a hoot what brother so-and-so says. What did the Bible say? What does the prophet say? Well, I got quotes where the prophet said we're going to get us a new body. Yes, sir. And I got plenty of them where he says the resurrection is not replacement. So now you're making your prophet a false prophet because you're saying he's teaching one thing one way and another thing another way. Now, I don't believe that. It's this body made new. All right? Now, see, then in that point, that's the key to it, to understand that we don't get a new body. We get this body redeemed. All right? Now, in doing that then, I've asked you to read the future home, things that are to be, and some of the messages there after the opening of the seals and the things where the prophet bringing it down, but especially like future home. I'm not going to get on that tonight now. I'm not going to get on the redemption of the body. That will be on over into Sunday, I hope, if I get there. All right. But I want you to hold the point with me tonight to see the importance of understanding a simple little thing. That we don't get a new body. We get this body redeemed. Yeah. Oh, of course they explain it. I heard one brother, he was explaining it, and boy, he brought it all down, and this whole thing here is not worth nothing, and he dropped it down, and we just walk out on our own bodies into the millennium in some kind of a glorified theophany form of a body, and then in the future home, we finally catch back up with it. Well, I don't understand that. I couldn't understand him. I'm not making fun of him. That's his business. He's saying what he believes. See, I still say that I'd rather listen to him than most people, because most people won't tell you what to believe. Right? Most people will just kind of leave you in limbo, and like I said, they'll say, I believe in a new body, and then they wait to see what you're going to do. And then if you don't go this way, they'll go that way. You know, you watch preachers, and they'll do that a lot, okay? Maybe I shouldn't have said that about preachers, but you know it's true. All right? But listen, I don't have none of that flowing to try to get you to believe this way and then try to get... I just got one thing. You either going to believe what I'm saying or forget it. You know, I mean, I don't have no two sides to me. I've never been that way. I've always been one. All right. So let's read a couple of things that Brother Branham had to say about the healing campaigns and the, you know, of the things that was taking place, but I hope you follow my point. I'm saying something to you that is a whole lot more valuable than you think. Now, I'm saying something not undercover. I'm saying it as the way I want it said exactly to be brought out. See, we are, if we're not careful, we will be looking for something to take place when it's already taking place. You know. Now, Brother Branham said one day, he said, see there, said, see where the moon will turn to blood? He said, I can show you where that's already took place. Well, I can't, because I can't find where he told me what that was. See? But he said he knew, said it already took place. Well, see, we're all still looking for the moon to turn to blood. Yeah. But he said it's done over. And see, that's what we can do. We can be looking, I'll put it in here in this plain language, we can be looking for the message of the to wit, the redemption of the body, the message, and the message has already come. See? And like Brother Gary and I were talking the other day, if you're still dependent upon something to have to come forth in some big bang theory or something, then there's no difference in what people are saying in that realm than it is to those that are saying, Brother Branham's got to come back. See? The biggest portion of the people of the message had its dependence upon something to happen. Some kind of something to take place. That's why they start running after every little young guy come along or something. He's really built up and he's going, and everybody just flocks after him. Well, then after a while, they just die back down. They go floating back into churches again, you know. See? I'm looking for something to happen, yes. But I'm not looking for something to happen that's already happened. See? If it's already happened, I want to tell you it's happened. See? All right. See, then that way we'll understand what we're trying to get to. But look what your prophet had to say on the message of number one on your notes. Jesus Christ the same, 62, 0, which would be 7-18, 1962. And just, you read all the others, I give it to you, I read it, you read it, and see what is the context or whatever, and I just give you something to save time. Look where he says, the Holy Ghost struck first on the West Coast. Some cross-eyed colored man down here in California. Holy Ghost struck on California with speaking in tongues. Then came divine healing campaign. So now, was that what I said a while ago? Azusa Street took place, then came a divine healing campaign. See? All right. The Holy Ghost struck on California with speaking in tongues, then came healing campaign, and here we are at the end time. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right. As I was with Moses, 1951, 503, E17. Now, a few years ago when I started, there was none of that going on. Now, back up behind there and read, and you'll see that he's talking about healing in certain ways of great success. Right. You back up and you read, and get it, run it back on your computer backwards. He's talking about things like every one of them's having success some way. All right. Now, a few years ago when I started, there was none of that going on. As I said, they credit Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. I mean, Oral Roberts as being with Brother Branham, but actually Oral Roberts came out from Brother Branham because Brother Branham was the first on the field of divine healing. You know, the big campaigns, the great move of God. All right, once. He said there was none of that going on. The only thing that this has done, and this supernatural, now he's talking about his ministry, now watch, has wakened ministers out of the sense-bound realm into a place to where they see God is present. Now, what's the purpose of the divine healing? To see God is present. They take His word, start a healing campaign. God heals the sick. See? As you say, you can search through anywhere you want to and you'll find the supernatural. All right? So what's he saying? When he started out, there wasn't nobody on the field when he started. They came from him. all of the great things that took place that came from him, he said the ministers wakened up to these things and started, got out of their sense-bound realm into a place where they see God is present. Then they started. You remember who was it? T.L. Osborne, one of them, you know, said, Brother Branham, should I go do this? He says, no. He says, go sit down under that old oak tree of Brother Bosworth and listen to him on divine healing. Now, Brother Bosworth was on the field before Brother Branham came on the field with divine healing. But it was not having the great effect. He would actually come off the field in retirement. And then he goes back with Brother Branham and starts on with it. But see, a healing campaign of the supernatural God to get the attention of the people. All right. Now, it's not to get the attention of the people to get you healed. That's part of it, right? Come on. That's part of the thing. That's what they were dwelling on. Healing campaign. But Brother Brown says you can't preach healing without preaching salvation, and you can't preach salvation without preaching healing. So it was to get the attention of the people, and he said, we don't major on a minor. He said, preaching of the gospel and saving of the souls is the important thing. That was to get the people to come to the meeting, get under the presence of God, get under the anointing, get under the thing, and get under conviction. And as it would, then it would go forth, and they would accept Jesus Christ, because that's the purpose of it. See? You don't major on a minor. You don't go with that. See? You try to make it to where that, you know, the healings and the signs and wonders is to be among you. Even the gifts. What is it in Corinthians? Even the gifts. See, the gifts, the reason the gifts. What did the prophet say? He said, somebody come in a meeting. Said, you have them to meet before and have the gifted people. And they meet in the back room and they come out and they read and they say, there's a sister here tonight. She's got a certain disease because of what she's done in a certain place. And here it is. And God will heal her. See? It's not just a blabbering of the tongues and things. It was for a purpose. See? And that way they'll fall down and worship God. And give honor because they know that somebody has told them the truth. See, but it's not just a healing campaign. This healing campaign, look at the next one we're going to read. Look where it winds up, the Son of Righteousness, where it winds up being. Lady of Sin, Church Age, 1960, 12:11, the evening service, paragraph 64. And he's coming down, Son of Righteousness, rise with healing wind, go forth and grow up as a calves of a stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. See, that's in the millennium, when you'll take place. And in that, I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Not the day that he not the day that he shall burn the earth will tread upon their ashes. That's the millennium, of course. See, so it's going to come to the millennial reign. Healing is going to last until the millennial reign will start coming in. All right? Going over, just make sure in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Number four in your notes, True Sign Overlooked, 1961, 11 to 12. And he comes down reading the same scripture, that fear by name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth as calves in a stall. That's the millennium. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts, coming out in the millennium. See? All right. Why would the prophet cover going into the millennium? The key is we're going to walk out on the ashes of the people. Right? We're going to walk on the ashes of the people into the millennium. Because they're going to have to die. They're going to be killed. Alright? So then divine healing will come to an end. Alright? Now you want scripture for it? Remember that when it comes into the tribulation, in the book of Revelations, it says that they will cry to die, pray for the rocks to fall upon them. That's scripture in the book of Revelations. They will be crying out for those things. And as they do, they won't come. because the healing is already left. See, it's going to the other. Let me look at something. Y'all excuse me a second. I had a question, and I thought I stuck the answer into my Bible. That's all right. I'll get back to it in a minute, if I can find it. Somebody asked me a question, and I wrote it down and put it in my Bible. Now I can't find a place I put it, but I'll find it in a minute. But now watch. See, then the sign of the healing. Listen now. And you'll understand why all of these quotes follow after. The sign of healing is a sign of the resurrection. All right. Now, the Lord Jesus had that sign. All right? That's the sign of the Son of Man. It's the resurrection sign. All right? Jesus had that sign. He could guarantee you healing. Isn't it odd, Brother Branham come along and say, give me 24 of your worst cases and I'll guarantee you healing. It was a sign. What? A sign of the resurrection. All right? So now you see why there had to be a healing campaign. Because everybody thought that they was going to get a new body. We had no thoughts of anything about getting, you know, this body changed. We were only thinking of getting a new one. And God would have to create that from some word to bring it to us. And see, then God, to get that off of our mind, he sends a healing campaign to show you the resurrection is present. Now remember my thought a while ago, don't be looking forward to something. Try to find out what's here. So there when the prophet took off on the divine healing campaign, God was showing the world that they wasn't going to get a new body. But how many took that? How many in the messages took that? Come on. No, they're not going to change from their doctrines and their ideas. Right. But see, then the prophet would begin to say, it's like on the next one, Angel of the Lord, 1951, 718, if there's no divine healing now, there is no resurrection of the body. Yeah? Divine healing is the earnest of our redeemed body. Now notice what he said. Did you ever think of that? Now, I kind of put little marks around that where you'd read it and think about it. The prophet said, did you ever think of that? Of what? That divine healing, see, now is showing that there will come a resurrection. See? Because that is the earnest of our redeemed body. For God to heal somebody is showing that that's an earnest. See? Watch what he said. Did you ever think of that? Now listen to this one. If there's no divine healing, then when you go to the grave, that's all of it. Now read these with me real careful. Look at it. Look what he's saying. If there's no divine healing, then when you go to the grave, that's all of it. So you'd have to get a new body. But there is divine healing. Look what he says. Did you ever think of that? If there's no divine healing, then there's... Then you, when you go to the grave, that's all of you, you'll be there forever and your dust will go away and there'll be no more of you. See, if there, we have the earnest of our salvation and completeness back the way we was in the Garden of Eden. Now look at it, he's going on down thinking of the power. Then he talks about the sister, about Eden away, within a few hours to live by cancer, by the earnest of her redeemed body, will put her in the condition it is now. What will it be when she draws the full value of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's just the you know what the earnest is? The earnest is the down payment on anything that holds it, a surety, secures it. Now she's just got the earnest of it by being healed with a hideous cancer that would have taken her life, and here she is sitting well and normal. Now, Brother Branham is tying divine healing to the redemption of the body, if you're reading. For him will I accept, 1952, 7:18. He's talking about David crying out, my flesh shall rest in hope, because he will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will he leave his soul in hell. All back there, all pointing to Calvary. Then, in Jesus lays the complete of salvation, the complete of divine healing. If there is no divine healing now, there is no resurrection of the dead. And I'd like for you to wade over that. Listen to it. That's right. We have the first fruits of our inheritance, is it right? The earnest of our salvation. He said, I'd like for you to wade over that. You know, stomp around, get over the top of it, get away from it. Okay, testimony, 1953, 11:29, evening service. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the Dr. Bess is who he's really talking about. You know, about how he preached a great Camelot message. You know, talking about all in the resurrection. When this mortal puts on immortality. Of course, any Christian believes that. That there'd be a resurrection. But if there's no attributes of the resurrection, if there's no earnest of the resurrection, then there is no resurrection. If there is no divine healing, then there's no resurrection. Now, you couldn't disprove that if you could by the... You couldn't disprove that if you could by the Scripture. See, I'm arguing the points of Christ, see. Because we have the earnest of our salvation, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? That's the down payment. The earnest which holds it secure in heaven for us. And if there is no divine healing to make a cancer-ridden body come back normal and well again, there is no resurrection of the dead. That's right. We have no earnest of it at all. There's no plan made for it. He said that settled it. Hidden Life, 1956, 2:12. You cannot preach salvation to the soul without preaching bodily healing. You just can't do it. You can't cut the Bible up like that because it's inseparable. The same man died at the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we were healed the same day. The blood from the same veins. So it's inseparable. All right? I got a point I got to stop on a minute, so I have to keep looking back at my notes. Hear ye him, 56:12-15. No one can preach salvation without preaching divine healing, see? You cannot preach redemption of the soul without preaching redemption of the body, see? When you can't deal with sin in any measure, lest you deal with sickness and every attribute. Sickness is the results of sin. Uh-huh. Now, are you listening? Are you following? No divine healing. No resurrection. All right. Keep your mind on the thought, though. God brought a divine healing campaign. It would go of healing for the body, would go all the way until the change of this body. Yeah. That's why we can believe in it. Yeah. Hear ye him, 1958, 301, evening service. You will die. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but died again, see? But if there is no divine healing, which is the earnest of our resurrection, there is no resurrection. And if there is no freedom from sin and living above sin and free from sin, then there is no heaven to go to. This is just the earnest of our salvation that we have now through the works of the Holy Spirit. Life is the Healer, 57:611. And Jesus came to redeem both of them. So you go back up above there and you see the body's full of sickness and death is pronounced on it and all this, that, and the other. And the soul is sick and the body's sick. And Jesus came to redeem both of them. That's right. Not just one. His soul. He came to bring complete redemption. And we only have the earnest of our complete salvation now. If there is no divine healing now, there is no resurrection of the body. That's correct. So what's he covering? We have the earnest of our salvation in our soul. We have the earnest of our salvation in our body. Amen. All right? Now, for him will I accept. 52:7-18, the earnest of our redeemed body. And if God can reach down and take a cancer-ridden like Miss Florence Nightingale in my book there, you who've seen it, the great-granddaughter of the Florence Nightingale, the founder of the Red Cross, if God can reach down to that poor, wretched mortal laying there that couldn't even raise her hands to shake hands, and couldn't speak till I could hear her, and put her to 155 pounds in perfect health, that's the earnest of our resurrected body. Keep on going. Demonology, 1953:608. Now let's talk about the death side. Now, how can a person that on that estate in that kind of a condition ever be sick? All right. Because that your body is not redeemed. Your body is not redeemed. No matter how much, how good you are, and how saintly, and how holy, how much Holy Spirit, that's only your soul. And your soul is not complete yet. It's just got the blessings, the promise of God, which is the earnest of our salvation. But now, if we have no earnest of our resurrection, no divine healing, then I'll have no assurance of nothing to prove to me that there is a resurrection. See? No divine healing, no resurrection. Divine healing came as a sign of the resurrection, to get the attention of the people for salvation of the soul. Fundamental Foundation for Faith, 1955:113. Jesus couldn't come to redeem us from just sin without redeeming us from the sickness of all the things that goes with it, or all the things that goes with it, even to death. He redeemed us from death. We do not die. There's no scripture in the Bible that says a Christian's die. We have eternal, we have everlasting life and cannot die. God promised to resurrect the body in the last days. We rest in this assurance. Now we have salvation, happiness, and joy, which is the earnest of our salvation, of our complete redemption someday. And we have divine healing as the earnest of our immortal bodies, which is coming on. Okay? Ten Virgins, 1960:12-11, morning service. I do believe in divine healing. It's one of the great doctrines of the Bible. But divine healing has more to it than just divine healing. Are you reading? Now listen to what your prophet is saying. That's why I want you to take these quotes home and read them. Divine healing has more to it than just divine healing. Divine healing only says that there is a God who's coming again. What does divine healing speak of? It's the earnest of our resurrection. If there's no divine healing, then there is no resurrection. And if there is no Holy Spirit now to baptize us, there is no eternal life in the world to come. This is the earnest of our salvation. All right. Queen of the South, 58:613. When you preach, you inherited. And when you preach salvation for the soul, it has to be for the body too. Now, it's the earnest of our redemption. If there is no divine healing, there is no resurrection. For it's just like the earnest, the same as the joy of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. See, so the earnest of your healing, earnest of your body is what your healing is. Your resurrection. Okay. Now listen. Now, if it's an earnest, and like we read there in one of the quotes, Brother Brown said, all Christianity believes in a resurrection. Now, if you're going to believe in a resurrection, now listen, if you're going to believe in a resurrection, then why would you think you're going to get you a new body? Because the word resurrection is to bring back what goes down. True? Do you see how flimsy our doctrines, like Brother Branham told that lady, said, that's as thin as a suit made off of a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. Now that's that's cutting pretty good. Y'all think Brother Dale's pretty hard. You need to read a lot. He really cut that lady pretty hard. But now listen. If there's going to be a resurrection, and resurrect means to bring back that went down. Well, now, is it going to come back old? No, it's not going to come back old. It's going to come back young. Because your prophet has explained that to us. That's what I'm saying to you if you'll catch these little points. Point number two, I've done made one, I'm making number two. Your prophet never spoke of things to come like we think. He would always speak of a present tense. A present tense. See? All right? See, then healing while we're alive. Now, while you're alive. Healing is not for the dead, right? Healing is not for the person that's dead, right? No. They're going to have to be changed. They're going to have to be brought up in the resurrection. All right. But the divine healing that we have, and that healing campaign that went out to the world, and Brother Branham prayed for the sick until his life's message. And in doing that, that was a proof of the resurrection. You agree? But now listen, it wasn't proof of a resurrection to come. I said I'm on point two. It's proof of a resurrection that's present tense. The resurrection is not a past thing. It's not a future thing. It's present tense. See? Now, then your prophet preached the message. Why are we looking for the message? Well, Brother Dale, I don't understand you. You say, why are we looking for the message? Remember that it doesn't say in Romans 8, 23, the adoption, the change of the body. It doesn't say the adoption, the redemption of the body. It says the adoption to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. We've got to get that while we're here. But it's already been brought to us. It's the message the prophet brought. Because there's not another message to come. Nor messenger. See? That's point two. Okay? I said something to a brother the other day about something, and he said, when are you going to explain to me about what you said about 9:15? I said, I'm not going to. He'll have to explain that to me. So your prophet was never dealing with anything in the past or in the future. He was dealing with what's present tense. Your resurrection, your prophet said, is work. He said it was inside of you. Well, why are we looking for a resurrection when it's inside of us? All we got to do is get what's inside of us outside, and we got the resurrection taking place. Point three. I'm trying to say something to get you to think, and then later on when I come back, and it'll just click. Like that. And you'll quit looking for something to come. You'll start looking at what's here. And it'll take place. See? Why? Because our bodies, the prophet said, are not redeemed. No. We know it. We know we're standing here in a sinful condition. That's not hard to understand, isn't it? You know. But for a minute, I want you to think about what he's saying here in the next couple of quotes. That there's something been going on. There's something going on now. So you can take one quote and make things fall away over, take another and make it now, but let's just get what he's... Look at who is this Melchizedek, number 17 on your notes, 1965-221. And when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. And that spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it, there's no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. Now he's dealing now with the earnest of the resurrection as being something that's within inside of you. Not just divine healing. That's my point. Not just divine healing. It's something happening inside of you. See? What is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. What's already started? The redemption of the body. It's already started. We're looking for the redemption of the body to be walking along like this, and all at once we run up against a wall or we hit something or whatever, something falls down, whammo, we got the redemption. Right? It's easy to quote, you know, our body's not redeemed. But it's, according to your prophet, he said it's already started. And I told you, I'm not going to get there, so keep on reading the future home. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. Listen. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. Now he's dealing with something that's on the inside of you. Now watch him drop back, because how can he cover it any other way? We're going to find in a minute there's one in here somewhere. Brother Ryan said it's a type. So this here's a type. Now watch. A sick person laying dying. Nothing left but death. That's all that can happen. I've seen the shadows of people done eat up with cancer and tuberculosis, and see them persons a little while after that perfectly normally strong, normal and strong. And if there's no divine healing, then there's no resurrection, because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. But he's already been telling you up above there that he's talking about an inward resurrection. Divine healing is only speaking of that. Because you can be sick again. Mm-hmm. Number 18, and we will cover these two again so you could remember them. Future Home, 1964, 802, page 49. He's coming down to talk about the redeeming of the earth and the thing. You are part of the earth, your body. Your soul is a part of God, an attribute of God displayed here on earth in a body. The body's to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. So God came down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. And you, being part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. You're in the process now. It's growing on. So remember those two statements. Already in process. See, the redemption of the body is already in process. That's point number four. It's not something to look forward to. It's something that we should honor and realize that it's taking place right now. But I don't see no difference. What's that got to do with it? That's the same thing they said to Jesus. He never turned around to those people when they were talking to him in an ungodly way, or even to the lady that would stand there and say, "Oh yes, we believe one day Lazarus is going to come forth in the resurrection." What did he say? He said, "I am the resurrection." See, she was looking to the end of the world of a resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection." "I am" means ever present tense. Okay, now just for a minute, I'm going to try to cover something. All right. You've heard the prophet talk about that Jesus' ministry had three pools, and that his ministry had three pools and the different things, and, you know, would take place. And I want to show you from this now to tie back into what we were talking about of the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, to drop all the way back to 33 when the prophet began to start a healing campaign. Does everybody understand what I just said? We're going to tie this back to what we're fixing to cover. We'll tie back to where the prophet started a healing campaign. And that would be the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings to come forth, and the message would have to follow. All right. But still, it didn't mean nothing wasn't going. It didn't mean there wasn't nothing going on. You better remember that before your prophet went to Arizona, that the about three of those times of the third pull had already taken place before he went to Arizona. I'm sure of three, maybe four, might even all five of them taken place before then. See? So he said that Jesus had three pulls. First pull is to heal the sick. Now, I don't have time to get back into the scriptures, but you ought to know it enough, and you can go in there in the Gospels and find it. That the Lord Jesus had had a supper. There was a wedding to take place, or a marriage supper. And he sent out invitations, and people didn't come. Right? And they come and told him, said, most of the people hadn't come. He said, "Go out and get the sick, the lame, the halt. Bring them in." Remember that in the scripture? They went out and got them. It still wasn't enough. He said, "Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come. Because I'm going to have a wedding." All right? Now, are you following that? Three pulls. The second pull of the Lord Jesus was what? Healing the sick. Going out. The second pull of Brother Branham was what? healing the sick. Is that what he said it is? Now you can say, no, it's the first pull. Well, you better tie it together now and get it over to where you can understand. See, I know the quote, first pull to healing, second pull is prophecy. So remember my point. A message will always follow. The Lord Jesus had a message that he was preaching, and he was doing the first pull under his message of healing the sick. He was preaching the message, which was the second pull. And then one day he was preaching to the totally lost under the third pull. Okay? Now, so would it happen with Brother Branham. So look what he says, is your life worthy of the gospel? 1963, 6:30, the evening service. Number 19 on your notes. Now, what did you notice? There was three pulls, or three turns of it. When they went out first and called to them that were bidden to come, and they didn't do it. So there went out a healing campaign. Went out to get the blind and the halt, and still there was room. Still there were room. So he went out and compelled the good, bad, and the indifferent that they should come. All right? Wedding Supper, 1956, 10:06. Go out and start a healing campaign. Bring in the lame, the blind, and the halt. And everybody hollers today about healing campaigns to get a crowd. What's the matter with you, preacher? That's the light of the Bible. That's right. Go get the lame and the halt. That's the last call before the coming of the Lord, according to the Bible. Go out and call a healing campaign. Miracles and signs and wonders will be done. And bring them in, because I'm going to have my table set full. Amen. I've made it. I've killed my fatling. I'm going to have a real supper. And you go out and bring in the lame and the halt, the blind, the afflicted, brother. That's a meal call. Divine healing is the program of today. That's God's last call, is divine healing. And then these fellers that wouldn't accept it and sit back with their big old dry theology tries to say that we put divine healing in the paper to get a crowd. Jesus said to amen, that would make a Baptist shout. Jesus sent them out. You understand what he's saying? So they say, you send out all these papers, you're doing this. He said, that's what Jesus done. Jesus told them to go out and bring them in. See, this thing's going to tie now to the three pools. So when it started back there with the prophet, as I said, he quit letting people preach for him. He started preaching his own, because at the same time that the sign of the Messiah was in the prophet, the real sign of the Messiah was the message the prophet was bringing. There's your real sign. The message the man was bringing. The other was to get attentions. But it ties with the first, second, and third pool. Go out. Get the lame and the halt. In other words, have a healing campaign. Because it's fixing to take place that something's going to happen. Something's going to take place. The Son of Righteousness is going to have to rise with healing in his wings. Resurrection of Lazarus, 1958-13. And if God made a way for a flower to live again, what about a man that's made in his image? The freeze might come, but when a man's born again of the Spirit of God, there's life in there, eternal life that'll stand the freeze. And when the Son of Righteousness rises with healings in his wings, there'll be a church to go up to meet him in the air. God will again bring a resurrection. Brother Branham had the resurrection sign. That was the sign of the Messiah. That didn't make Brother Branham God. but it was the sign of the Messiah, the Son of Man, the resurrection sign. That's why he could guarantee you healing. See, nobody else can't do that. I can't do that. Ain't no man in the world can tell you. I guarantee you healing. I can say it like this. You believe God's word and I guarantee it. But I can't guarantee it myself. But Brother Brown said, you bring me 24 of your worst cases and I'll guarantee you healing. Why? Because he had the resurrection sign. The resurrection sign would be exactly like the Lord Jesus was when he was here on earth. That when he first started out, they listened to him. But then he began to bring his message while he was healing the sick and raising the dead. And they got where they wouldn't listen to him. Is not that exactly what happened with our prophet in the last days? Identically the same thing. 1954, 305, God's provided way of healing, of dealing, excuse me, dealing with sin. He talks about God shining on us, the Holy Spirit, and give us a birth. As the morning stars reflect in the light of the absent Christ by his power and demonstration, the church sheds forth a light in this dark time. Soon daylight will come and the Son of Righteousness will rise with healings in his wings. This mortal will take on immortality. Now he's not talking just about just talking about healing, is he? He's talking about divine healing. That's why they couldn't understand Brother Branham and see they were actually printing it in a way when they would say divine healing. See? And to the human mind, when you say divine healing, that means that what you're saying is the heat, you can never be sick again. And see, they was against Brother Branham because they called him a divine healer. He said, I'm not a divine healer. But see, he uses the word divine healing a lot of times. Because if you're healed, that's divine. I don't care if the Beatles is singing the song. And God heals. The healing is divine. Because God does it. So it is divine healing. To end with an ultimate of the change of the body, this mortal will take on immortality and a divine healing. Though the word is correct, they just didn't know what he was talking about. How many of the people of the message now knows what he's talking about? Divine healing, immortality. See? Resurrection, immortality. I'm not talking about resurrection from the dead of the person in the ground. I'm talking about our resurrection. Your resurrection lays inside of you. See? All right. This mortal will take on immortality, we'll see him as he is and be made like unto his own glorious body and shall never be sick or headache or disappointments. That's what we're waiting for the Son. Message Faith, 1956, 8:15. When the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, these old bodies will be made immortal. The soul that's tempted and tossed about will then be stable forever in the presence of God. Watchman, what of the night? 58:11-30. The shadows are falling. Christ is appearing. That's why signs and wonders are appearing. It's that great satellite reflecting off of the morning stars with the healings in his wings. And if he will bring healing from the reflection of his presence, what will he do when he comes in person? These corruptible bodies of ours will be changed and be made like unto in his own glorious body. What will it be when he comes? Until he comes, we're thankful for the sunlight of his presence as the morning stars do. I climb the ramparts of glory and sitting there to hail his coming in this dark hour. Got about three more, so hang on. Simeon and Anna, 1959:2-11, talking about eternal life. And someday when Jesus comes, though we be dust, when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, this mortal will take on immortality, and we shall be resurrected and caught up to meet him in the air. Each one of those hands give them eternal life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. The Testimony of a True Witness, 61-1105. He's talking about coming down to another season. That season will come, will be the immortal season. And when the Son of God rises with healing in his wings, it'll be totally impossible to hold those bodies in the ground any longer. They'll come forth in the brightness of the Son of God. Very nature itself testifies of it. Divine healing here proves resurrection's coming from there. Right? God has a provided way, 1962, 728. And as the sun, as the S-U-N rises in the east and sets in the west, the gospel of the S-O-N rose in the east and setting in the west. And now the same sun that rises in the east, S-U-N, is the same sun that sets in the west. And the same S-O-N, hallelujah, that through his light of gospel and power and his Messiah sign to the eastern people, in the last days now the clouds has cleared back away from the church, and the S-O-N rises with healing in his wings and brings forth from the power, evidence of his resurrection, that he still remains the Son of God. It shall be light in the evening time. 1964, 112, Shalom. I don't know how he's going to do it, but his spoken word will be vindicated when the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healings in his wings. And the healing part there will not be a physical healing as you think. Watch him. As saying somebody's got a sickness and it'll be taken away from them. That's what he's doing now in type. But the whole creation will be changed. This mortal will take on immortality. This old age will jump into youth. Amen. He said, I don't know, but it'll be there. I don't know, but it'll be there. I don't know how, but it'll be there. Think on these things. The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, goes all the way to the change of the body. Ties back together to the prophet said that Jesus had three pools, and under his second pool, he was preaching the gospel, and the healing signs and wonders was taking place. The prophet of God was preaching the message, and as it was, signs and wonders was taking place. But it was proof of the resurrection. He had the resurrection sign, and it was the proof of the resurrection. That a person could stand there that had been totally sick all over, like that. If you ever seen that picture of that little girl, he's talking about Florence Nightingale's granddaughter, or what it was, and seeing her standing there, her legs is about that big around, and just dying, and but yet God miraculously healed her. See, why? Because the prophet had the resurrection sign. The Son of Man could raise the dead. That's what somebody said here a while back that they're saying now that Jesus couldn't forgive sins. Well, according to my Bible, the Son of Man can. Now, I don't know about that. I just happen to believe what the Word says. But now listen. As we close, listen to one point. There in 33, when that struck of the healing campaign, maybe you didn't think I meant what I said or was listening. God sent down proof that we was not going to get a new body. He sent healing in a miraculous signs around the world to prove the resurrection was present. The prophet just stepped right into that ministry and began to speak, and God came and honored his word. But he knew there was a message coming. And if they couldn't stand a healing campaign message, what would they do when he began to say, I and my Father are one? He said, when you begin to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, he said, the shulk will pull away. So you see a vast gap beginning to form in the people of the message, that some are wanting to go on into the message, realizing that the resurrection sign has come and the resurrection is in the message. Number five, The resurrection is in this message. You say, well, it's inside of you. That's right, because I'm hoping God's inside of you, because if God ain't inside of you, the resurrection is not inside of you. Okay? Is that blunt enough? If the Holy Ghost is inside of you, the resurrection's inside of you. But if he ain't inside of you, the resurrection's not inside of you. So you don't have to worry about it. But you see, it's got to connect to that message. And that prophet stood there and he said, I knew this message was coming. Because it's got to follow it. And he said, if healing goes forth in a great healing campaign and stays with the old message, he said, don't listen. Why? Because healing and signs and wonders is a sign that God is here. Not that God is coming. Number six. God is not coming. Your prophet said, I'm not saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here. If he's here to raise the dead and heal the sick, he's here. He was here to bring his own message through that prophet. And that message will take you and I to a change. Come on, brothers. It'll take you and I to a change. Because it's already inside of you. It's not something to come. We already got the message. And it's not, as I say in Romans again there to say it, it doesn't say the adoption, the redemption of the body or change. It says the adoption to wit, to understand the redemption. Let's stand together. The redemption of the body. To understand it. You got to have a revelation before you can be delivered. If you're sick, you got to have a revelation to show you that you're healed. Right? If you're lost, you got to have a revelation to show you're saved. So why are we afraid of revelation? Go ahead. What do we got? 596 in the Spiral Book. Anybody have a need? Think on these things.
I lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why.
Let's drop back over and start again. We were a little high, I think. Start with the chorus and that'll... Start with a chorus now.
Lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen. The spirit's groaning deep.
We'll pick it up on the chorus.
It must be God here in my soul, cause I feel the pull.
Do you?
I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my.
Is that right?
He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word. And with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to live a higher plane.
Right?
And there's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know sure that I'll reach the goal, 'cause I feel,
do you?
I feel the pull. I hear the call.
Do you? It's all a pull. Once you receive that new birth, that headstone is pulling you, drawing you higher and higher. And once we get the new birth, then it's a pull on this body, because the work has already begun. And a drawing, pulling us to a change.
Feel the pull.
Do you?
I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me.
Thank you, God.
And I agree. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Amen. Can't you just feel something is going on? Look around the world and see what's taking place. Look at all of the world falling apart and just caving in. Just, it's gone, isn't it? I was talking last night, or yesterday, Brother Gary there, he and I. See, about 1980, I said this way back then, and I still say it. Because long about that time when they first reached the moon, your prophet said that going to another planet was a type of the rapture. Interplanetary travel was a type of the rapture. And when they reached the moon, there's not been a lot of advancement in science as far as the physical point like that. Right? Because they reached a goal. Sure, now they're wanting to go on out into the space, you know, and they're wanting to go, and they're making ships, and they're doing and preparing. Yeah, but they, wouldn't that force be, see, we were fighting with Russia, trying to get ahead of them, and Russia was trying to get ahead of us, and, you know, to go to the moon. They'd put up a rocket, and we'd put up a rocket, and this would happen, that would happen. But see, now there's not a lot of doing, right? But don't miss this. Along about that time, they started electronical situations that exist today in this world that is unimaginable to the human mind. They used to have a telephone that you had to have a line to run here to California, right? A wire had to be run. Then they wound up making what they call, what is it, monofilament? Is that the word for it? They started making this thing that could carry hundreds and thousands of phone calls through one fiber optic, huh? Through one thing. They didn't need millions of cables. They had just one cable. They would carry millions of phone calls. They would just go. And it'd all be in there, and nobody's crossing each other. It's all... See, then that wasn't nothing. Because now you can take your cell phone and you can dial it and you can speak to somebody in Russia, China. You just, from a cell phone. And there's so much of that going on, and you think those are not bothering. They're still talking about that cell phones can damage your head because of you using it so close and things. Because why? It's got to be waves. But now they say that, what is that word for it? Now somebody help me. It's not a bandwidth, but it's something similar to that. It's a place that they can't put any more in there. And so they're going to have to create something else. High definition. They're going to have to create another way. Bob and them can tell you about it. They're going to have to do something to be able to handle this thing. Those are supernatural. They can turn right around now, and they can go through that, and they can pick up your telephone conversation and bring that conversation right back and play it to you to prove you made that phone call. Where is it coming from? They even spoke way back a long time ago and said that they believed that they had tapped into, that they could hear voices down in hell crying out. He said, well, all that's foolishness. Well, it's working. See, the advancement of trying to go on that away is not, if you get the point, it's turned back here. The advancement of science here is now so superior until in Kuwait, which is what, 20 years ago, they said they could lay a quarter on the ground and from outer space they could tell you where it was head or tails. Yeah, that's 20 years ago. Used to, you argued about wiretapping because you couldn't hear somebody. Now they just listen all they want to. Get my point. The interplanetary travel was the last great goal of mankind. Because that's the type of the rapture. Right? But the rapture's got to be here. If the rapture's here, the mysterious things are happening in this life. They can just about do anything. They had to do that in remembering the Tower of Babel because nothing with earth was in Genesis, maybe before the flood, because nothing was withholding from mankind. Scientific achievements. They're still working on decomposing the human body and sending it to California and put it back together. The prophet of God said, one day we'll travel like a thought. See how all these things are so close? Don't look out there. Look right here. Don't try to find what tomorrow's doing. Right here. Think on these things. Father, we just ask you to help us to understand. Because that's what we need more than anything in the world is an understanding. A revelation. Not a head knowledge. Not an intellectual conception that can do such marvelous things in this world until it's almost a supernatural world that we're living in. But yet a God that can speak to the heart of an individual and lead each one of us. Bless, Lord, the sick among us. Reach down and touch each one. Sister Barbara there, Brother Gary, Brother Dick, the different ones that are sick. The sickness among us, my wife and their back, Lord, and their troubles. Just make yourself manifest. That's all we ever ask. For you to just come on the scene and do what you said you'd do. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Just pray one for another. You're dismissed. Pray that the Lord will bless. Remember the services this weekend.